Next concert, the future in classical music.
Today with Maria Faust, a fantastic jazz saxophonist, but jazz with a very underlying own color. And that's when she decided to become a composer as well. Composing and playing, does that go together for you?
I think it's the same person. I never have been separating them. I can't really imagine my life without playing, being able to play. But composing is already so natural that I did already since I was a child. That has been always there with me. I feel sometimes that composers who don't play instruments, that they're missing out a lot, you know, being in touch with people, with your audience, to know your audience, to control, in a way, their emotions and mirror them, because I'm playing them. They don't listen to me, I'm playing them. And I do lots of improvisation that is relying on my audience, actually. And that audience is always in a circle of making music, and I can't separate it somehow, because that's part of my music. I don't want to play alone. And who? I want to play it for somebody.
You created your own group, Sacrum Facere, with its human sacrifice. So just one word to that. It sounds really dangerous.
I think this is not even a band, but I call it my writing system that I use for only that kind of, and that will take 2 hours to explain how I came to it, but it is the project that is my social critical music and exactly goes into that individual person and a normal person who is to be blamed and who is sacrificed, and the biggest satisfaction comes to women, because they are not fighting and they are not leading and they are not starting wars and they don't beat up. The violence lies on men. And anybody can say, no, but women are also. No, they are not, you know, like compared to the amounts. Women are not the ones who have been creating misery. And that's how it is. Men are accused, I'm accusing them now. This is our one of the reasons why we live in that horrible times. Women's problem is that they are thinking too little of themselves, and men, they think too much of themselves. And we need to find that balance. We have to have half and half, both men and women, in every place in the structure work. And then we are starting to get a little bit closer to the balance, and our world gets into better place.
Your recent recording has been given the German Record Critics Award, and it has been highly noticed in German press. Much is rewound and rewritten, and I had this image in my mind when we were young and having our little tape recorders, and we would rewind until it would have that squeaking noise when it was really at the end. So, and then taking this material and composing on that again. What's that idea like?
Well, I think it's more maybe symbolistic, more for myself. First of all, I try to rewind it into the place where we as humankind have been failing, that we believing all kind of populistic ideas and promises of a milk rivers. And that's something that I wanted to rewind, that if I could find it symbolistically. The other thing is, of course, exactly turning backwards marches and give the new start for the marches. And because it's such a strange style, it's not considered as a music at all. It's a ceremonial music for the ceremonies. That's the purpose of that. And the last thing, of course, it's the theme for autocracy and ideas to go through, and how you use music as a weapon, which is quite of I would say, insane that music that is actually for us to protect ourselves. Music is the one that unites us, that that can help us to heal. Music is memory. It's something that makes sick healthy back. It's a source of lots of things, but it's also power. It's a huge power. And the power has two ends. One power that belongs to the people, that we just forgot to use. We forgot to understand that power, and instead that was used by leaders of rich people wanting to be richer, and what happens right now too. So in a way, I'm way too late with my music, but maybe there is some things to think through, because it's basically totally ABC that I have been taking out all the propagandistic elements of music and putting it together and showing it how beautiful it is and how dangerous it can be, the message, if you sleep on it.
Maybe it's about now is just the right time to reconsider this, because nobody is in a good way thinking about march music as a tool for both sides, actually, not only military marches, but marches of freedom, marches of peace. Also, maybe not with a strict rhythm, but if you think of music as a tool, not really as a weapon, it still helps us to put people together in a good thought and then go towards their rights or human rights, peace, whatever. So to use this and say, okay, let's all take a moment and think and then reconsider, we're here and we can do something. Is that what you are aiming for?
Yes, first of all, it is also a wake-up call to us as creators. I think we are forgetting how much do we have responsibility to be the Illuminata for our people. As an artist, I feel very strongly I'm not mine. My art is not mine. I'm to be shared. So that comes with a very big responsibility. That means that my ideas, my talent of being able to filter the world and chew it up for the others, that is it's something that I have to take care of. And I think it's mostly I want that my fellow colleagues will understand the power of it, that we all know that music has power when it's groups. It has already helped Estonia a lot. We have been singing ourselves to free. We saw all Super Bowl and Bad Bunny doing it and uniting all the groups of fighting people. And then you suddenly realize it doesn't need language, it doesn't need to have any of it, just music can do it. Of course, it's more powerful if arts are meeting, music meeting with visual arts, music meeting with words, movements, it gets only more powerful. And what I want to do with my marches is still to do the wakey wakey for both of my audience, but also to my colleagues.
The wakey wakey is not like the alarm clock in the morning where it goes off and you know what to do. It's more a subtle way of waking people up, because you're listening along and you're following the beat and suddenly it changes and suddenly it shifts. The harmonies shift a little bit, the rhythms become irritating. So, but in a very subtle way that first you don't understand what's happening around you, but the world is suddenly shaking and shifting. So to do this subcutane, to go under the skin of people, how do you create these sounds? Where does that come from?
I mean, of course, music has to be multi-layered. You don't have to need to even know what it is about. You can also think, what is this music? Why does it sound like that? But I think there is already questions into like programmed. You will, if you like it and if you have certain questions you want to dig in, and you will understand. Not everybody understands, but that's to be honest, that's also not my job. My job is to make that scheme, lay it out, and it's up to the listeners to learn it. Not learn it, but to see those patterns, because it's all there, but heart has to be open, and that's not always open, obviously. And that's our humankind, that's exactly those pockets we have been stumbling into, those failures as a humankind, that we don't have either time or we look over problems, and we look over and we want easy solutions, and we want that milk river now. And that's how also I invite people into my music. It's all here, just open your heart. And then afterwards, it's again in my hands. There's a very big difference about Marches Rewound and Rewritten and the Marches of Lies that is now coming to be played tomorrow live and first time, because I'm moving from the collective responsibility to a single person's responsibility. And it becomes much more softer, but also opens up the whole role of the emotional palette for a listener. So you feel all of it. You feel shame, but you feel proud. You have all those places. And there is lots of places that I exactly want that they feel shamed. I want that they understand that this is exactly the place where you gave away your freedom and very cheap. And that immediately I of course understand that that's also okay, because you know, you wrestle with your life, you have 11 children, you need to pay tax, your children have to be taxpayers. There is that wrestling of life is so much, and in the end of the whole fight of the whole like failure of society is the guilt is still landing on a normal person. Like it's nobody else's fault, but it's always that normal very poor person who has to take all the guilt. And I think it's super unfair. Like it's always the leaders or whoever are rich, they are leaving the game without being touched. And the normal people will live generation after generation with the shame. And we talk about now Nazi Germany, we talk about different kind of like let's take for example Trump. Why were you so stupid that you let that person, that totally madman, to come into power? Why are you into Putin? All those questions. But it's not that simple, because it is that the promise of beauty is given step by step, small by small. You're fooled and you hope the best. You want to be equal, you want to be united, you want to have a life.
Here comes something, you have to lead me into Estonian traditions a little bit and also into the actual facts. The partners you have here is the Military Defense Corps of Music, the military band, let's say, of Estonia. And that has recently been shifted from state's responsibility or state's salary, say, into a museum's responsibility. How did that come?
It's a difficult problem. I mean, very simple answer is that war started, and all our money, even that Estonian military orchestra, that is even national orchestra, really well educated horn players, also soldiers at the same time, who really know how to do their jobs. The cost of them, even that it was so little and only for one maybe bada-boom, the war started. And that's how the money from military goes only to the war and protection and the war machines. Estonians are blamed constantly that we were Russophobes, we had a phobia. Now we are accused that we have a some kind of fear that is making no sense, but that's not true. We know what we are fearing. We know that it's inside our DNA, how bad it has been. We can't measure misery. If there is a 10,000 dead, if there is a 10 million dead, it's misery. But we just constantly have been, and not only us, the whole region constantly has been suffering because of one country. And one country with people who think that that's okay. They believe it. And all that thing, the military orchestra to use to for the March of the Lies, it was the only way how I could even more clearly show what is march and what is war and what is a real danger.
Estonia has been conquered most of its existence. The marches having to be played here were mostly foreigners' marches. So knowing the threat of occupiers and playing their music and then finding maybe own music, but then giving this away, is that something to think about as well?
I think autocratic marches, they are all the same, exactly the same. They are elements of you, you kind of knit some nature into it, you knit a little bit of folklore into it, but the same and the same texts and the same music, the same repetition forever. So I don't know, that's not even like borrowed. What I used in my music is something that we have our own funeral marches. And that is the only thing where I can see like Estonian soul. When I grew up in my home island, then we had every Saturday, we had funerals and we had a real marching orchestras. Not like New Orleans, of course. A little bit more slow, a little bit more out of tune, a little bit more simple, but it was such a insane moments. I was waiting them because it was so beautiful, thinking about dying and then goodbye with this beautiful horn music. And I think it is something that is where I see something happening in my head, a hope, because that's such a so human, so kind, that when it's end, then you go with the horn music.
Is that the reason why you picked the saxophone as your instrument? Because the saxophone is the like the in-between instrument between all genres, between all styles, but yet it's a very unique sound.
We didn't have allowance to play saxophone in Soviet time because of the Soviet, it was considered something dirty and bad. I mean, jazz is dangerous. I'm partly jazz as well. I'm partly folk, I'm partly everything. I don't think so that I'm under any kind of sort of style, really, but floating on top and between and underneath. The saxophone came to my life much later when we became free, and that was around 91 we got free. Those saxophones found a way to the music school in 95 maybe. So I picked up the saxophone there. I was a piano player because the girls played flutes and played pianos. We have that aspect on top of that. Men and women, we are not equal in Estonia, still not. I don't know how it is in Germany, but I think we still wrestle in the same mud hole pretty much. Who you are, powerful women are transparent still. And I have been transparent all my life and still are. But to come back to saxophone, then it is just something that instinct. I'm very instinctive person and I'm picking up things and ideas because it's already part of me and I don't really question why. Horn just suits. Everybody has their own instrument that is the best for them. Okay, who can play guitar, who can play. That saxophone is mine. And it's loud, it's quiet, it really sounds like my own voice, by the way. It is in the same range and I play like I talk or express my feelings. So it's the closest for myself.
You were talking about the marches of lies, which becomes softer and more addictable for the audience, but still there's an underlying color that is not the aquarelle light tune colors. It's the darkness. You chose the darkness for your music. Why is it that darkness or sharpness is important?
I maybe don't see it as a darkness, but I see contrasts. I like the corners. I like the places where light doesn't exactly go straight into. I don't think it has really that only darkness, but there is definitely, it's pretty dramatic, I would say. Even that I am a modern time, modern person, I love thirds. I love beautiful melodies. I love everything in melodies. And I actually follow quite much a contrapunct because it is so logic for me. Well, that's something that I love. Of course, I have to crack it sometimes and not go all the way. But I'm so many things. I am now and everything what is around me. And I think probably it has a darker color right now. Or when, I don't know when it was like lighter. In Denmark, people, they write completely different kind of sad music. If it's sad music, it's very one-planed in a way. There is no like dimensions. It's either one or then it is happier music. It is swinging. My music is always marching. There is no swing.
Is the directness, you were talking about responsibility, and I'm really happy to, because nobody ever is feeling that they're supposed to be taking responsibility in our music world. Unfortunately, because there's so much to take your gift and then take responsibility for who's around you because they can't be as gifted as you. Is that giving a burden to you? Like you were awarded this phenomenal national award right now, and you were also by the Danish crown, you were knighted. Is it knighted in
I was knighted. It's not kind of the same way like it was in old times, but it's called, yeah, knighted. I don't know how to translate it, but it's Ridderorden. So it means that it's an orden that is for the knight. It is quite strange that I have now at home something, a medallion that is from 1600. That is I'm carrying some sort of historical object, what I actually don't really know what to do about, but it is obviously a great honor. It doesn't make my life easier, and I don't write differently. And with just a couple of months, everybody had been forgetting it, and I haven't had even time to have a champagne. So it's going to be very fast in and out.
Would you say it's not a burden for you now to be part of the Danish crown, which you in fact are? If you are knighted, then you are part of the king's palace.
It's so difficult to explain that. I'm trying to. I haven't been reading enough. I got the huge information with me. Like I have to read all those things, what that means. But that doesn't. I will continue my life. I think even as a knight. And if I want to get drunk, then I will get drunk. And if I want to write a really really ugly tune, I will write the ugly tune. No, I don't think that it is going to shape me as an artist or human being. But I'm happy that kind of honor and understanding that people who have actually eyesight to see that I do something that might unite people or might do a little bit more than just entertaining. I'm not an entertainer, I'm an educator. Or at least some kind of illumination is there. And how do you think that I'm exactly that person? I have to believe that I'm not crazy, that actually I have something to share.
And as this podcast is called The Future in Classical Music, your future lies within responsibility?
Yeah, I already carry it. That's my goal and that's who I am. I knew it when I was 6 that's my path. And I'm happy that I have that understanding. I have been trying always to understand humankind. It is really simple. We need kindness. We need understanding. And instead of blaming, we need education and we need to understand each other's mistakes and society's mistakes. But only then we can get better, because that means we are matured.
Very nicely put. Thank you very much, Maria.
Thank you.
Next concert. The Future in Classical Music.